Welcome, fellow seekers. My name is Nathan, and this is the Law of One and Spiritual Concepts podcast, where I share my interpretations of the Law of One and other related topics. Today, we'll be having a follow-up discussion on the similarities between the Law of One and Kriya Yoga. This episode is intended to be a continuation from the first on Kriya Yoga, and to share more of the correlations to Ra's teachings of the Law of One. Since the last episode, I have continued to grow and learn on both of these paths, and would like to share what more I've picked up in an effort to hopefully help others who may be interested. Through some of this personal growth, my practice of overall Kriya and teachers have changed in a direction I feel more resonant with now. And these teachings, I think, are more aligned now with the original Kriya Yoga teachings of Lahiri Mahasaya, who was the original yogi to receive these Kriya teachings in the modern era from Babaji. And he therefore created the revival of the practice, and then continued on by his most accomplished disciple, Panchanan Bhattacharya. And so these teachings are somewhat different than what Yogananda has brought to the States and throughout India through their many organizations. But I don't think we need to get into all the details of that for now, just as an overview. So I would still, though, recommend checking out the first episode on Kriya Yoga if you haven't heard it yet, since it'll serve as a good introduction, and this episode then will highlight some of the same points and build off of those as well. As a brief introduction to start with, Kriya Yoga is generally considered to be any action that leads to the unification with our true self, with a capital S, or we can consider it the Creator. And for this reason, the real Kriya is the one that you are constantly doing all day long in an effort to see the Creator in everything. So it can be considered a lifestyle, and there are many levels to this practice, but with somewhat simplified goal at the end. And the main technique associated with Kriya Yoga is the pranayama technique, which is breath control or life force energy control. I look at this from a Law One standpoint as a technique to connect with and feel intelligent energy, and even eventually access intelligent infinity. However, there is so much more to Kriya than just the breathing technique. There is energy center clearing, work with the unconscious mind, the higher self, seeing oneness in everything, and general work with the mind, body, and spirit, just to name a few. So it's a matter of learning to open the heart center and develop a blissful, expansive, meditative state throughout the day and our lives. Being able to deal with catalyst as it rises and radiate the love of the Creator to all. A simple task, right? But please note then for now, I will not get into too much of the specifics on the Kriya Yoga technique, as it is not meant for me to teach. But I will provide some resources at the end if you're interested and wish to learn the practice. It has become apparent to me that yogic and Indian philosophy generally teach similar concepts to the Law of One philosophy, like some of the similar points that we just considered. For today, though, I hope to begin reviewing some of these relationships on a few concepts between the Law of One and Kriya Yoga specifically. And to begin diving into some of these comparisons, I wanted to discuss one of the main reasons that has drawn me to Kriya Yoga, and that is because it is known as the Path of the Householder. The Kriya Yoga practice that was given by Lahiri Mahasaya and continued by Panchanan was created for the householder. And I think this makes it a very relatable path for many of us that are married, have a family, or have other worldly responsibilities that restrict us from going to become a renunciate or going off to the mountains somewhere in isolation to meditate, or even feel the need to go join some special hidden teachings groups or organizations. Instead, this lineage encourages us to have a family and maintain a job while being a yogi, as this is the most natural and balanced path, according to them. And I really think this is amazing, since I think most of us can probably relate to this lifestyle. And it also provides us with a reasonable path for disciplined meditation practice, wherever we're at, without having to join a monastery or give up anything that we currently have. Although that's not to say you might end up changing along the way, though. Sometimes it feels like it's so hard to live a spiritual life in this world these days and maintain a job and staying involved in society. It sometimes seems like I would like to break away and go on a retreat for days and sit in the mountains and meditate, like we were saying, but it's not always realistic. So this Kriya Yoga path really excited me by its nature of maintaining a spiritual practice with our jobs, our family life, and staying involved in society, and that can lead us to self-realization. Lahiri Bamba would say, everyone should progress on the spiritual path as a householder, because errors can be forgiven by householders. Ascetics have no reprieve. Ra recommends us to experience all things desired and to work through our individual biases and distortions in an effort to make the choice to be of service to others or service to self, in order for us to graduate from third density. So this clearly can be done in a myriad of lifestyle path choices, but I think the householder path is special because it relates to so many, as we've said. And it allows us to work through the ever-so-powerful daily catalyst and karma we receive to help us polarize. Another important point is that Kriya also provides techniques and tools to help us work through this catalyst, such as specific forms of meditation, contemplation, and prayer that are suited to aid the yogi to work through these. This now leads us to the next point, and that is to recap the information as it relates to the disciplines of the personality as Ra taught to Kriya. So this term of discipline is not meant to be used in a negative sense or being in trouble. Rather, it's meant to be an action or exercise, something done with conscious intent to train or develop our mind-body-spirit complexes. So, of course, I see this as the practice of Kriya Yoga right off the bat. But looking a little closer at the disciplines of the personality from the Law of One, they consist of concepts of know yourself, accept yourself, and become the creator. The know yourself discipline consists of self-awareness as an individual, as all, as the creator, and then understanding our behaviors, distortions, and biases as part of ourselves, part of the creator. Accepting yourself, then, is just as it sounds, accepting yourself as the creator and truly accepting those behaviors, biases, distortions that we had just mentioned. And then becoming the creator is a little more abstract, but it's to become all that there is with no individual personality, just be as the creator, which is developed through the will and faith, allowing us to be able to use catalyst and create catalyst, stepping into our creative power as the creator. But this can also simply look like no longer being a victim, acknowledging and knowing our godly creative power within us, and then also consciously manifesting, radiating love and light while utilizing our thoughts and feelings to create our reality. So I think Kriya helps us to learn these concepts closer, firstly through the dedicated daily practice. And in this practice, we are learning to know the self from an energetic and mental standpoint, consisting of our distortions and biases, while also learning of the power we have as one within us as the creator. Then this also is a way to learn to accept ourselves as we are and as the creator from a higher state of consciousness, and ultimately then getting a taste of the divine from the practice. And this is, of course, then paving the way to becoming the creator or stepping into our godly creative power. But looking a little closer at this, the disciplined Kriya practice ends up changing our habits. And this is through achieving expansion and bliss states of consciousness that opens us to new perspectives or ways to look at the world with joy and love. Or also by achieving samadhi, which is union with the divine, and further creating clarity and mental calmness from this state, which is pretty miraculous. And through this mental cleanliness, become less reactive and able to process catalysts more efficiently and effectively. In addition to creating internal energetic transformations, by allowing energy to flow through our energy centers freely and clearly to the roots of mind, where we're able to then contact intelligent energy and ultimately intelligent infinity. And this is done through these energy center clearings and balancings that we'll start to look at here shortly. But overall, I think the disciplined yogi is also developing the faculties of will and faith, which are of the utmost importance and allow us to become co-creators. By harnessing the willpower to make decisions that work to the benefit of the yogi spiritually, so something like choosing to meditate or read a spiritual text instead of watching TV, But this also aids us in seeking the Creator with this determination to use our catalyst to polarize, to penetrate the veil, and to work with our spirit complex or higher self, which I believe qualifies as the work of the adept. From here, we'll move on to the next correlation, and that will be the connection to spirit and the higher self. Ra describes the higher self as a mid-sixth density entity that operates as our future self, which has understood, developed, and is the end result of all experiences by the mind-body-spirit complex to that point. It helps to guide us when asked, provide protection wherever possible, and it may program certain experiences for us as we are incarnate. However, our free will is still maintained to make choices in these situations and to ask for help. So it can serve as a great guide or resource if used. And a few other points about the higher self here is that it tends to work with us closely in between incarnations to heal and plan for further incarnations to acquire the needed experiences and to be able to release biases. Ra also tends to call the higher self the magical personality, which can be invoked through conscious practices. And as one additional note, Ra does also mention that there are several beings upon which we can call for inner support, so I'd consider these to be guides in addition to the higher self. And I would relate this then to the Kriya practice, that through the meditation, we are actually clearing our signal or opening up to receive these downloads and guidance from the higher self and other guides there, stemming from entering into a silent and deep, low idle state in meditation from the Kriya practices, such as some of the long breathing, that open up the potential for these pathways or communication to exist and much more. And what I believe to be happening here is that through the practice, we are connecting to the unconscious mind or piercing the veil, allowing healing and transformation to occur. But not only this, but also creating a channel to the spirit. So as Ra says in 6.1, the purpose of carefully and consciously opening this channel is to serve in a more dependable way, in a more commonplace or usual way, as seen by the distortion complex of the healer. To others, there may appear to be miracles. To the one who has carefully opened the door to intelligent infinity, this is ordinary. This is commonplace. This is as it should be. The life experience becomes somewhat transformed, and the great work goes on. End quote. How amazing is that? I think this definitely sums up the goal of Kriya Yoga and the path of the yogi in such an elegant way, as Ra always does. So through this Kriya practice, I think we are also building that connection to spirit and the higher self through these meditations and contemplations, prayers. But not only this, but also speaking to us in our dreams and other altered states, possibly, receiving this communication and connection to the higher self, allowing for our development and polarizing in the direction we choose. As we continue on this yogic journey, we'll now look at energy center and energy distortion clearings and how this relates to Kriya. So the Kriya Yoga Pranayama practice can famously lead to Kundalini awakenings, which are huge energetic awakenings that Ra also discusses in 49.5 and 49.6, if you're interested in reading those. They're quite fascinating, but since we had covered that in the previous episode, I won't be focusing on that for now. We'll look more now at the energy center balancing and clearing, which Ra considers to be a pivotal action for healing, and that we can make use of in this third density experience to progress spiritually. And I have found that this relates to Kriya Yoga through one of the more important practices called Om Japa. And this consists of connecting with the lower six energy centers individually and mentally chanting Om into them, red ray through indigo. And what this does is to help clear out and release any blockages in the chakras, allowing energy to flow more freely and for the energy center to become more vibrant. But not only this, but it also is working through our biases, allowing us to accept ourselves, better self-understanding, and self-forgiveness. So some of the qualities we've seen back in the disciplines of the personality section. And what I have found then is that this Om Japa process of being able to focus on an energy center to refine it and purify it is also highlighted in Ra's teachings in 41.19. So we'll read this partial quote here, where Ra says, "Each energy center has a wide range of rotational speed, or as you may see it more clearly, in relation to color, brilliance. The more strongly the will of the entity concentrates upon and refines or purifies each energy center, the more brilliant or rotationally active each energy center will be. It is not necessary for the energy centers to be activated in order in the case of a self-aware entity." End quote. And in this quote, I think it nicely relates to this Om Japa practice of focusing on each energy center individually and sending mental Oms into them to clear them out, which I have found to be an incredibly important tool to use throughout the meditation practice. However, I would also say that it's important to understand the distortions in the various energy centers and to mentally work through them as well to create balance. So this could also include then being in contemplation and analyzing the day, reviewing your emotions, feelings, and actions to find out where you could have done better, and to amplify these emotions and balance them with the opposite emotion or feeling. Another relationship with the energy centers comes from Ra's description in 39.10, where they discuss that the green ray is the resource for spiritual work, in that it activates the primary ray of blue to begin potentiation, which is the first true spiritual ray, containing the learned teachings of the spirit, which then leads to the indigo ray learned teachings. And here, the Kriya practice brings us into the heart space, I find, and it helps to activate the heart as well throughout these practices. This, of course, is the key activity for us in third density to make this choice to be of service to others or self, and to then begin working from that heart space. At which I'd say then service begins to become natural here and seen from the point of loving kindness and compassion. This then continues to work through the blue and indigo rays as well once green has been activated. Ra describes this in more detail in 15.12. We'll look at this quote here. "The indigo ray balancing is quite central to the type of work which revolves about the spirit complex, which has its influx then into the transformation or transmutation of third density to fourth density, it being the energy center receiving the least distorted outpourings of love light from intelligent energy, and having also the potential for the key to the gateway of intelligent infinity." End quote. And from this quote, we can begin to see the importance of the indigo ray balancing and the potentials available. And I think these have the potential to be activated as well through the Kriya practice, once the heart has been activated, allowing us to then work in the blue and indigo senses. And this is done through the balancing and clearing of the lower energy centers to then allow us to receive higher levels of intelligent energy, connect with our spirit, and to work on transforming into fourth density even. Through this indigo ray work, we are becoming an adept where we have the more occulted knowledge to become available and accessible to us, which ultimately allows us to be of better service through healing, teaching, and working for the Creator in a balanced and radiant way from this energy center by receiving the least distorted outpourings of love light from intelligent energy. I have come to believe that in becoming a yogi, we are also becoming an adept and stepping into this realm of spiritual work with the indigo ray. I'd also add here that I believe Ra's description of accessing this gateway to intelligent infinity ties into what the yogis call a samadhi or union experience. And in this experience, we are grasping a portion of the original thought of the Creator and given a glimpse at unifying with the Creator, which is an incredibly beautiful experience. And so for the last corollary I'll tie here for these energy centers is the ability to feel energy in the head and throughout the body. And I think this is interpreted by Ra as well in 50.12, where Ra says, "The instreamings of energy are felt by the energy centers which need and are prepared for activation. Thus, those who feel the stimulation in violet ray level are getting just that. Those feeling it within the forehead, between the brows, are experiencing indigo ray and so forth. Those experiencing tinglings and visual images are having some blockages in the energy center being activated, and thus the electrical body spreads this energy out, and its effect is diffused. Those not truly sincerely requesting this energy may yet feel it if the entities are not well trained in psychic defense. Those not desirous of experiencing these sensations and activations and changes even upon the subconscious level will not experience anything due to their abilities at defense and armoring against change. End quote. So I think this brilliantly aligns with the Kriya practice, since there are common sensations felt during the techniques, and this is also interesting to consider on an individual level, why we may be feeling things differently or may not be experiencing these sensations at all, based on this quote here. It's also worth noting that I do not believe it's required to feel this energy in order to be making progress in Kriya, since the focus and the goal of the practice is to be able to access the expansive and bliss states, which is connecting with the Creator. This feeling of the energy is somewhat of a byproduct or possibly guidepost. I'd also add to the potentially curious seeker why the Om Japa practice only works with the 6 lower energy centers. And, well, interestingly enough, the Kriya Yoga tradition only recognizes these 1 through 6, so root through the third eye, as ones that can be worked with energetically. And I also feel that Ra seems to also confirm this as well in a number of different quotes, where they end up indicating that the energy center ingress ends with the indigo ray, and the violet ray is then the thermometer or indicator of the whole. And can furthermore be described in 50.13 as indigo stimulation activating the great gateway into healing, magical work, and prayerful attention, and the radiance of being, and the stimulation of violet ray, which is the spiritual giving and taking, from and to Creator, from Creator to Creator. And I think that's a rather inspiring way to end this correlation here between the energy centers of the Law of One and Kriya Yoga. With that, we'll end it here for today. I truly hope you found this episode interesting and helpful, looking at the correlations between the Law of One and Kriya Yoga. For those interested in learning more about Kriya Yoga, I would highly recommend checking out my teacher Forrest Knutson's YouTube channel and books. I'll add some links in the description below. I feel compelled to end with one final quote that sums up what I believe to be the path of the Kriya Yogi, or adept as Ra would say. This comes from 75.23. Each entity is the creator. The entity, as it becomes more and more conscious of itself, gradually comes to the turning point at which it determines to seek either in service to others or in service to self. The seeker becomes the adept when it has balanced with minimal adequacy the energy centers, red, orange, yellow, and blue, with the addition of green for the positive, thus moving into indigo work. The adept then begins to do less of the preliminary or outer work, having to do with function, and begins to affect the inner work, which has to do with being. As the adept becomes a more and more consciously crystallized entity, it gradually manifests more and more of that which it always has been since before time, that is, the one infinite creator. End quote. I leave you now in the love and in the light.